Okay, hi everybody, and good midday here from Finland. We are working now on our 50th program for the rules for magic on the astral plane. We had quite a exhortation from the Tibetan in which he called for utter self-sacrifice from us. And he said that, this would be demanded and even more in future times. That and more than that lies ahead of all of you who hear the call and respond to the need and the opportunity. So, it does stop one and cause one to measure the degree to which we conform even to the very first law of the soul, which is, I suppose, underlying all of them, the law of sacrifice. And I just recommend, I made, put it in really big type here, the big font. And he asks us always to ask the question that I suppose Christ always asked of himself and which reached a kind of climax, at least in terms of what we know, in the Garden of Gethsemane, as he was taking an aspect of the sixth initiation. What can I relinquish in order that I may help more adequately? So now we go on to number 50, and that means, in a way, this is the 100th program here in A Treatise on White Magic, the introduction and the rules for magic on the mental plane have preceded it, and then, as well, we're on the 34th program of Rule 10. Well, this rule won't go on forever. I think in another, well, another 15 or 17 pages, it is concluded. So let us see where we are. And the Tibetan says, "Let me tell you this. This group is now in process of becoming. This group now in process of becoming will in time develop its own yoga and school of training, which will gradually supersede the Raja Yoga and the Bhakti Yoga schools." That's quite a promise. The yoga for the new group of world servers. The method of training will only be given to those who have trained the mind and learnt to control the emotions. So we might say, so Raja Yoga and Bhakti, let's see, Bhakti Yoga will be among their previous accomplishments. Hence the key to what is going on now, or what is now going on. The mode of training will be no easy shortcut to the goal. So often students are looking for that, you know. I have some very wonderful friends who are seeing things a little different from me. They think there are shortcuts, that perhaps a group can take five initiations simultaneously. Well, that would not accord with the process of initiation, at least as Master DK has presented it. But always in these claims is the thought that, well, that was then and this is now. And yet, when we deal with the ageless wisdom, there must be a continuity between what is true and given in the past, and what has been given in the present. And this would break the continuity, because it's so necessary to work out the revelation of initiation in the life of every day when preparing for the next one. And the initiate is always initiate before he is initiated. And if that's the case, then to take an initiation which included the fifth initiation would mean that those taking such a synthetic initiation would be already masters. At least they would have reached on their own the initiatory grade of the master, one of the fifth initiation, before taking and being confirmed in an initiation which included the heights of the fifth degree. Okay, so to me it doesn't make sense, but you know, we all have to discover what seems correct to us. And although it's difficult to avoid, when we have a very good teacher, we must refrain from always saying, oh, well, the teacher said it, it must be true. If the teacher is very good, like a Master DK is, no doubt it is true if we interpret it properly. Nevertheless, we must arrive at the truth of things in our own way, and not only through faith. I think faith is useful. I think it's helpful. It keeps us aligned with a valuable source of illumination, but there is a point at which we have to stand on our own. So there will be this yoga arising, and will it be the Agni Yoga? I don't know. Let's see, maybe a little later he'll tell us. There's no easy shortcut to the goal. All these stories gather around famous figures in the spiritual field, and it is said that the Dalai Lama was asked, what is the short way, you know? What is the fast way? And it is said that he burst into tears and said, there is no fast way. I mean, we don't know, did this take place, but it holds a lesson for us. The masters have struggled through the same kinds of difficulties that we are having, and situations still more difficult because they have advanced beyond us. And there's no free ride, there's no free lunch, there's no easy way to achieve mastership. One has to pass through a great renunciation of sacrifice. And there's just no way around that. And if people think there is a way around that, they're just displaying their egotistical eagerness, their ambition to become great right away. So we struggle onwards. Only the intelligent can attain it. We have to train the mind and control the emotions. That's one of the things, as it says here. Only the intelligent can attain it. And only coordinated personalities will be eligible to the teaching. Let's say that, okay, can do this properly. Coordination is one step short of integration, because the teaching must include the method of becoming integrated, obviously. So, only coordinated personalities will be eligible to the teaching. And I seem to have, this is my method, I have left out, okay, so now I think I can do this properly. The keynote of the new yoga will be synthesis. DK sometimes, I guess he calls it the yoga of synthesis. Its objective will be conscious development of the intuitive faculty. The development will fall into two categories. So let's just note what the keynote of the new yoga will be. Synthesis. It will have to involve, I suppose, the law of synthesis and the first ray, because that is the law, the cosmic law of the first ray. And it will demand the buddhic faculty as well. So atma and buddhi, which are, in a way, reflections of the monad. So this development will fall into two categories. First, the development of the intuition and of true spiritual perception. We call this pure reason. And secondly, the trained utilization of the mind as the interpreting agent. So now, what we're talking about here is Right, we're talking here about, no, that's not right. Sorry. Buddhi manas, really. And that is the frontier at which we stand. The development of buddhi manas and the antikarana is necessary for that. BDM, and I guess I'll get myself going here before long. Oh my. We stand, most of us, focused in the concrete mind. We need to develop the higher mind, an abstract mind, and we need to bridge into the Buddhic plane and achieve some degree of pure reason, some degree of intuition. So, we're developing the new yoga, and this will fall into two categories. First, the development of the intuition or true spiritual perception through pure reason and aided by love and wisdom. And secondly, the trained utilization of the mind as the interpretive agent, because so much has gone astray. Maybe the impression was legitimate. And maybe the impression came through reasonably and in an undistorted manner, and then the mind gets a hold of it and tries to relate it by old methods with what is already known and what is filled with illusion. So the intuition suffers a degradation by being subjected to interpretations which are filled with illusion. In the book Agni Yoga, some of the teaching to be given has filtered through, but only from the angle of the will aspect. I guess, you know, he's speaking about Master Maurya here. It gives me an idea, you know. It gives me an idea. So, Master Maurya is a first ray master, and has brought through some of the let's call it Yosin. I think that's a good one. We'll call it the Yoga of Synthesis. So, and then be able to abbreviate it. So Master Moria has brought through some of the Yoga of Synthesis. From the will angle, or first ray angle. And no book has as yet made its appearance, which gives in any form whatsoever the Yoga of Synthesis. And I'm wondering, this occurred to me, whether it might not be the duty, the task of Master DK in his next dispensation to write something that will be along the line of the Yoga of Synthesis. Let's see. So, here we are. When Master DK writes again, will he present writings along the line of the Yoga of Synthesis? Will he do that? I'm just going to write WOS. I have a feeling it's easier to deal with. Struck me that perhaps, his work with HPB had a lot of the third ray in it and the history of our planet. The third ray is very much the, you know, historical ray. The second work, which was more intensive and in which he was even more present, was along the second ray line, and it makes sense that the next installment will have much of the first ray in it. And will he produce a book which gives at least certain aspects of the Yoga of Synthesis? Apparently some of the teaching from the angle of will has come through from Master Moria in the Agni Yoga. So we have had, he says, Bhakti Yoga or union through devotion. Raja Yoga is now receiving emphasis, which is union through the mind. It sounds like a redundancy to speak of union through synthesis, but that is not so. It is not so. And this is the future of a fiery Yoga, which will really bring the perception of wholeness into the consciousness of humanity. It is union through identification with the whole, not union through realization or through vision. This is what we have to look forward to. Union through identification with the whole. And he wants us to really see the difference. Not union through realization or through vision. There's still some kind of separation there between the perceiver and the perceived. But if we really, well, these are words, of course, but if we really achieve identification with the whole identification, I often say, as the whole, then it is a very significant step in the process of evermore, if I can say this, it sounds strange, unified unions, which carry the note of realized oneness or oneness with which one identifies. And then I suppose in a way loses the sense that he is the separated identity. So mark well this distinction, for it holds the secret of the next step for the personalities of the race. And I would say, you know, the spiritualized personalities of the race. It holds the secret. The Bhagavad Gita gives us primarily, there I am again, you know. It's always doing that, isn't it? But somehow, it is my hope that this will work. The Bhagavad Gita gives us primarily the key to the yoga of devotion and the charioteer for Arjuna is Krishna. And one thinks in this case of an earlier incarnation of the Christ. Well, that battle took place a long time ago. Patanjali, it's been estimated that the first Patanjali, or the one to whom we give such reference, lived 10,000 years ago, approximately. Patanjali teaches us the yoga of the mind. In the gospel story, we have the portrayal of realization, which is an atmic power in its fullest presentation. I mean, we often say, oh yes, I realize this or that, but this is not the unveiling of the truth, which the higher form of realization is. But the key or the secret of identification is still withheld. It lies in the custody of a few in this integrating group of mystics and knowers, and will be brought into manifestation in the furnace of their individual experience and thus given to the world. So, I think that some of Master DK's teaching will be about identification. But the time is not yet. The group must grow in strength and knowledge and in intuitive perception. Well, here are the different gifts that we have received. The yoga of devotion, the yoga of the mind, the Gnani yoga, or well, that's maybe more the yoga of knowledge. Yoga of mind is very close to it. That's Raja yoga. And what is he suggesting? In the gospel story, the yoga of realization. And then finally, the yoga of identification. So maybe we can make an equivalence here. Maybe we can make an equivalence. And we can ask, is there an equivalence between the yoga of synthesis and the yoga of identification? I feel close to this yoga of identification. Already. Goodness, goodness. There's been a quitting of my chronometer. I think I'm at war with my chronometer here. I just cannot. It fools me all the time, you know? So this will probably be a program of irregular length, but then a number of them have been. So I was saying, you know, this yoga of identification, is it equivalent to the yoga of synthesis? I find in my own individual life, I don't so much tell myself that I'm working on the yoga of synthesis, but I definitely am working on the yoga of identification, of detecting being, and realizing that I am that being. I can't say I become the being because I always am. I am the being. And all things come out of that being, and therefore one on a certain interior level identifies with all things on a good day. There's still many veils. But as he says, this has to be and will be brought out into manifestation in the furnace of their own individual experience. So maybe some of us are working on this and have that clearing which reveals the substratum, the substance, that which pervades all, that which infusception, as I call it, that which infusception reveals. Maybe we can thus achieve. The group must grow in strength and knowledge and intuitive perception, and then these developments can be looked for. Now, he's so practical. So these are the hindrances to the yoga of synthesis or to membership in the new group of world servers. You ask me, what keeps a man from becoming a member of such a group? And I tell you with emphasis that four things only keep a man from affiliation. He's assuming we will want to overcome the hindrances. Okay, first, very first, an uncoordinated personality. Well, I don't know if we find so many of those now in among the serious students, but there are certain areas within the personality which may not yet be ideally coordinated. So, you know, hopefully this does not describe any of us. This involves necessarily an untrained mind and a feeble intellect. That word feeble is so wonderful because it somehow embodies that for which it stands. To say feeble sounds feeble. So, we need finally, an integrated personality and a soul integrated personality and a soul infused personality. We don't need the inability to have the various aspects of the personality function together and with purpose. So basically, he's telling us that some of the less evolved human beings cannot really be a member of this group. Second, a sense of separateness, of distinction, and being set apart or different from one's fellow men. Well, the problem there is, let's just say, victim of the great heresy of separateness. Third, the possession of a creed. It's a limiting formulation. No matter how good a formula or beliefs it may be, it inevitably produces exclusiveness. It bars some out. We're not allowed that. We're not allowed to bar any out. So, you know, no exclusive and excluding formulations, which serve ultimately to limit the mind and the possibility of greater realization in the mind. So the creed, no. Of course, as there is a bridge between devotion of the astral plane and the beginning of the use of the mental, lower mental level, creeds seem to appear at that point. These mental formulations, which embody something that one can be devoted to. The mind is not yet full, free, flexible, independent. It can't move here and there and still maintain its integrity. It's kind of a child mind, and it needs something to hang on to. And these creeds are formulations that one can hang on to. And finally, pride or ambition, thinking that, after all, one's quite the person. And one wants to prove to others that one is, and one wants to be recognized for one's quality, and ultimately served. I seek to serve and not exact due service. So that would be violated there. Uncoordination, separateness, creeds, pride and ambition. Okay. So, uncoordination, separateness, creeds, and pride and ambition. I suppose maybe the two go together. Maybe it's hard to have pride without the result-inducing ambition, the desire to climb and to dominate and to dictate and to be served. So these are the factors, and maybe we should memorize them. Let's have just a moment of reflection upon these. The uncoordinated personality. Am I coordinated? Do I have that sense of separateness? Do I set myself apart from others because of my supposed status, my supposed achievements? Do I possess a creed which I am always reaffirming? And which shuts out those who cannot acquiesce to that creed? Well, and then am I proud? Do I see so little of the world that I look at the little self and think it's quite an appreciable entity? And then do I try to raise that above others through ambition, stepping upon them as I go? Well, anyway, we want to be members of the new group of world servers. We want to be members of this reflection of hierarchy, this replica of hierarchy in human terms. And we've really been instructed here. It will take more reading than this. We will have to pause and we will have to reflect and reflect upon the new yoga that's coming. The yoga of synthesis, which is going in, and under the avatar of synthesis, this new yoga has a chance to be recognized and utilized. And maybe Master DK will help us there because he seems to be drawing it to our attention. And now he's about to write again. I'm sure the plans for that writing are already well, in process. We don't know how it will occur. I sometimes joke that it'll occur between Master DK and his computer, and it'll be called Dragon of Wisdom, Naturally Speaking. You know, we have that program called Dragon Naturally Speaking. But he will need a stenographer and distributors. And there might be quite a fight as to who is the legitimate representative of Master DK. Even beginning with the year 2000, around that time, people were stepping forward and pretty well saying, I'm it, you know. But we will recognize the quality of the writing, and we will recognize that as intelligent as we may be, what will be presented, just as DK said, look, Alice Bailey, I know you don't want to have anything to do with psychism, but just put me to the test and let me offer what I have to say, a little bit of it, and then you be the judge. So there will be something given by him, which none of us, no matter what our studies have been, could possibly give, and then will come the recognition that it's not just a well-meaning student channeler that is offering this, because there will be a lot of them that try to do that, but the master himself. And if it took 30 years, you know, to work through the process with Alice Bailey, how long will it take for this next installment, and what will be our relationship to it, our possible assimilation of it, our ability to spread it among humanity, and thereby help to lift human consciousness to the point, to that point of elevation which must be achieved if occultism, and I say particularly spiritual occultism, is to win the day by the end of the 21st century into which we have now entered. We're just about a fifth into it. So you ask again, how shall one qualify? You know, this gives us incentive, doesn't it? Even if it was written 90 years ago, because there are so many people that may, out of curiosity or interest, read his books. But they're still not a member of this group. How shall one qualify? The rules are simple and are three in number. First, learn to practice harmlessness. Then desire nothing for the separated self. And thirdly, look for the sign of divinity in all. Three simple rules, but very hard to accomplish. So that's wonderful. He's really boiled it down for us. And now we have to be aware of these and practice these. Practice harmlessness. It's a certain point of view. There are various places where harmlessness is defined, and one of them has to do with, let's see if I can find it, divine understanding. Oh, that's in discipleship. That's not going to work because it's not in that book. Okay, so divine understanding. Let's take a look. Divine understanding, and then harmlessness. So let's see if we can find it. There it is in Law 9. The method used by the perfect one and that employed by good is harmlessness. This is not negativity, I think. It's the way it's presented in some places. You know, there are quite a few typos in this transference, and maybe some are still hiding in the books themselves. But this is not negative, but perfect poise, a complete point of view, and divine understanding. Well, that's a really important one about harmlessness. And there is another one that I often quote, and I think it's so, so important. Okay, let's see if I can get this. Not negativity. Several times the rules of healing are mentioned, and sometimes they are mentioned differently with different words. So we have to be aware of that. Then desire nothing for the separated self. Desire for the whole. Desire for the welfare of the whole. And then look for the signs of divinity in all, regardless of how opaque the personality may be, no matter how it may appear to hide that personality. Now, another factor regarding harmlessness, I think I'll bring it in here. Harmlessness is the expression of the life of the man who realizes himself to be everywhere, who lives consciously as a soul, whose nature is love, whose method is inclusiveness, and for whom all forms are alike in that they veil and hide the light and are but externalizations of the one infinite being. So let's see if we can find that and put it in. Externalizations of the one, externalizations of the one infinite being. Now, I'm not sure how I'm doing here, because this is it, and yet I know I'm leaving something out. For whom all forms are alike in that they veil and hide the light. Let's try that. Veil, hide, light, being. We're getting close. There it is. Veil and hide the light and are but externalizations of the one infinite being. Well, it's surprising that it didn't show up, but it should. So this is another factor in the definition of harmlessness. And we have to have that to really be a member of this new group. So the requirements, well, simple but difficult. The rules are simple and are three in number. First, learn not just to understand what harmlessness is, but to practice it. And there, of course, one has to have some kind of idea of what is the objective of the soul in any context. And that requires some spiritual discernment. Then, desire nothing for the separated self. I think that's a tough one. It takes a lot of discrimination to see whether what one seems to be desiring is for the separated self or for some larger good. And thirdly, look for the signs of divinity in all. Really search behind all of the inadequacies and distortions. So this is so somehow really important. And, you know, I'm going to, what shall I do? I'm going to make it red and blow it up. Here it is blown up. And here it is, red. Okay. So a lot of meditation should go into this approach to the three factors which will make one qualify to be a member of the new group of world servers. Now, it doesn't say achieve perfect harmlessness, it says practice it. Otherwise, I don't think any of us wouldn't be in it at all. So these are methods that take us in that direction. And they don't indicate full achievement. They are the way we orient ourselves and how we behave. It didn't say see the sign of divinity and all, it said look for it. And then when it comes to the idea of desire, it is an active process. So we're working on co-measuring our desires, as Master Mori would say, so that they really are oriented towards the welfare of the group and the whole, and not towards what we imagine to be our own personal welfare, which is not in a deep sense our welfare at all. So that's really an important section, isn't it? This whole book is just filled with memorable, quotable statements that seem to form the very basis of how we should approach our understanding and practice of spiritual occultism. Okay, behind this group of mystics, which includes thinkers in every department of human thought, let me reiterate the word thinkers and of human knowledge. In other words, they're it's not just an emotional group. It's a group in which the individuals have, as second degree initiates would have, the illumined mind and spiritual intelligence. Behind them stands the hierarchy of masters, and in between these two groups stand also a band of teachers, of whom I am one. So it's the entire hierarchy, the band of teachers, and then the new group of world servers. So, I've got to find again. There we have one. Blue bracket. Okay. So, let's look at the sequence here. This is the sequence. The new group of world servers, the band of teachers, and in the most elevated position, the hierarchy itself. Anyway, these teachers, of whom Master DK is one, and there are others, these act as intermediaries and transmitters of energy. May I repeat and beg you to attend that this group, which is slowly forming, is gathering out of every imaginable group of thinking and intelligent men. It's gathered out of every imaginable group of thinking and intelligent human beings. Every imaginable group. Okay. It's broad. It's inclusive. It's just, you don't find it only within the walls of the church or any church. And yet, and this may surprise a few, and this is the humbling statement, there are not very many occultists, so-called, among them. Well, you know, we tend to be proud because we read about these things, and yet we are simply students of occultism. We're not yet the real thing, the true occultist. And even so, among, let's just say, those who pursue occultism, there are not very many in the new group of world servers. This is due to the fact that occultists are numerically few in relation to the masses of humanity, and also to their tendency to be sectarian, exclusive, and self-righteous. I don't know. I somehow see the humor in all this, how we estimate ourselves, but what the reality of our present condition is. The reality is different from the estimation. Selfless humanitarian workers are there, political leaders and economists and scientific workers in the world laboratories are also there. Churchmen and religious adherents from all the world religions are there, and the practical mystics and a few occultists, those who study the science of the spirit. The true occultist is rare. And this is not just a student of occultism. I don't think any of us yet is what you call the true occultist. So our question here is, who is there? And we're being answered. Selfless humanitarian workers are there. Are all of them students or practitioners who have achieved the second degree? Probably not, but they have this selfless quality. Political leaders who care more about those they represent than politics per se, and being elected at the next election, no matter what they have to do, and no matter what effect it may have upon those they are intended to represent, and economists who really want to see the sharing, and the scientific workers who want to make available to people technologies which will lift them, save time, improve the quality of the people's lives. Churchmen and religious groups are also there, but from all the world religions, that's the point. They may tend to think that their approach is the very best, and that would be the wrong attitude. The practical mystics, we have that sense of God, and we want to bring God to our fellow human beings, and a few who really not only study the science of the hidden causes, but are able to apply what they learn in a really helpful way. The true occultist is rare. So these are the kinds of people that are found in the new group of world servers. And we, what do we have to do? Harmlessness, desiring nothing for the personal self, separated self. And see, if one looks at oneself as an aspect of the whole and as an instrument for the welfare of the whole, one can desire that the instrument be equipped without being egotistical about it. But then one has a view of oneself as not separated from the wholeness of humanity. And realizing that all people in essence are equally divine, as we may be, regardless of the temporary limitations of expression. And that's a hard one to take in. There are many people who are doing some terrible things, but in essence, they are divinity itself. And how do we remind ourselves of that? That's why DK sometimes talks about evil personalities, but he never talks about evil souls or evil monads or any of the essence of the human being. It cannot be evil. Okay, so intellectual mystics, you know, practical people, people who think and who are benevolent and altruistic. So what we have here, the thinking, benevolent, altruistic server. These are the members of the new group of world servers. Right. He's spending a lot of time with this, isn't he? I think in this book, we're getting a fuller presentation of what this group, which will have so much responsibility placed upon it, what this group really is. The group is and will be kept entirely subjective. The members, its members are linked telepathically, or they recognize each other through the quality of the work they are doing in the outer world and the inclusiveness of the note they sound. No one's needed to come in and organize the new group of world servers as much as some a little misguided people, you know, somewhat misguided, may think, oh, goodness, this is really loose. It needs organization. So what is that vibration? What is that resonance? What is that recognition when you meet somebody that really is a server of their fellow human beings? It is inspired from above by the souls of its members and the great ones, and is energized into activity by the need of humanity itself. It is composed of living conscious souls working through coordinated personalities. Its symbol is a golden triangle enclosing an even-armed cross with one diamond at the apex of the triangle. This symbol is never reproduced in form at all. It shines above the heads of all who are in the group and cannot be seen by anyone, not even a clairvoyant, except a group member. And then only if, for purposes of work, his recognition needs a stimulation. The motto of the group is the glory of the one. Well, we're being given some specifics here about the group that are given in no other of the Tibetan's books. I like that symbol, you know, the triangle is the soul and the cross is the personality and work within the fourfold dense physical nature of the planetary logos. And the diamond soul, the jewel in the lotus. That jewel in the lotus is at the center of the egoic lotus, but here, if the triangle stands for the soul itself, and at the very apex, at the highest point of vibration, in that triangular soul is found the diamond, which itself is a expression, an extension of the monad. So it's a very redemptive formula. The monad has its influence through the diamond, and the diamond through the soul, and through the soul comes the redeeming energy, which works transformatively upon the cross. So I think, you know, do I remember seeing this kind of symbol in the meditation room at the Arcane School? I think I do. I think I do remember. Because, you know, these symbols were livingly displayed. And, of course, in the meditation room, yes, yes, a lot of deep work was done. And thinking back, you know, and for me, that's about 40 years ago. So a subjective group, telepathically linked, recognizing each other through the quality of the work, and the note, inclusive note, sounded. The group is inspired by the great ones. It's also inspired by the souls of the members. The soul is alive and the personalities are coordinated and are verging upon integration. And the symbol, a golden triangle. This is suggesting, you know, the golden lotus, the soul, with its diamond apex as an extension of the monad, all of this redeeming the cross of matter. Maybe it's more easily redeemed now if it's the Aquarian cross, which the even-armed cross appears to be, rather than the long Piscean cross. More I may not tell you now, but this will give you some idea of the reality of the work that is going on and may serve as an incentive to fresh effort on the part of all working to equip themselves for selfless service, we need that incentive towards selfless service. And this is the characteristic. This is the characteristic of those who are true members. They serve selflessly with no asking, no reward for the little personal self. You know, back to these three very demanding requirements: harmlessness, no requests for the aggrandizement of the separated self. If they can look upon their nature as the non-separated self, perhaps they can look for the improvement of the instrument, and seeing divinity in everyone and also everywhere. Okay. Now I think we're ready to go on. But I'll just put a little marker there, and I'll be back shortly. A serious disk error. Goodness. I do want to try saving. Thank you. And I'll do it this way. I think it's a race between finishing this series and watching the whole save structure collapse. I hope it doesn't. Okay, thank you. Gosh, every time I do this, there seems to be a problem. Anyway. All right. So let us see if I can get us back to a place where things are a little less precarious. Okay, just a little break now, I think, and then we'll go on. Anyway, he's telling us more about the reality of the work that's going on, and maybe it'll include an incentive towards selfless service. That's what we want. All right.